on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of YokeCast. We are going to continue YokeCast through this month, I believe. And then we'll be taking a break. So, we've got some things coming up over the next few weeks that hopefully we can get you excited about. Something that got me excited here last week and actually earlier this week, kind of jointly together, was last week the NCAA announced that fully vaccinated student-athletes and Tier 1 personnel would not need to be in regular testing protocols. Also, that they would not have to quarantine should they become a close contact of somebody with a confirmed COVID-19 case. They're going to continue social distancing and mask wearing for fans at championship events through this year, but these are all great steps in the right direction, right? What we think is the right direction, something back to normalcy a little bit. And then this week, the South Dakota Board of Regents announced that they were lifting the mask mandate inside its buildings, which is like USD, SDSU, schools like that, and other places, beginning on May 10th. So you would no longer have to wear masks inside the buildings and do some of that stuff. So it's all of it is good steps. Now, some people are going to still wear masks, and I'm totally fine with that. But I do like that the mandate is getting lifted only because, to me, that feels like we are trending in the right direction. And I'm really excited about that. Because this obviously has been a long go at this pandemic. And I know so many people are just ready to be done with it. But you know what? We're going to get through this thing. And hopefully we can keep moving in the right direction. Whether you choose to get vaccinated or not, I still hope everybody is able to make the best decision for them, and it all helps us move in the right direction. That's what we're hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. So let's do that. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams, and that place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. Coming up in the show today, we will talk to Assistant AD for Development, Jeff Segrin. We'll talk to him about things going on with the foundation, Calling All Coyotes event, summer golf outings, all of that stuff coming up in the show today. And we'll kick it off with the athletics director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster. David, we continue winding down with some athletics here as we get into the month of May. Pretty typical for us this time of year, but still trying to finish strong with a lot of these different teams and sports. And Summit League championships have wrapped up for some of them. Let's start with, to kick off last weekend, the tennis team was out in Denver, Colorado. They made it into the Summit League championship. Had a tough draw with the host Denver and ended up dropping that match to essentially end the season.
Yeah, they it's interesting, too, the way the schedule worked out. We ended up being the fourth seed going into the tournament and had just got done playing Denver the week before. And Denver's just a really strong team. And good matches, but overall Denver's frankly just, at each position, they took the doubles points from us and then took, the singles. And, while we had good matches, it weren't frankly just strong enough to kind of compete with them. Now they go on to win it, and they beat, I think it was Kansas City in the final 4-0 as well. And now they're off to the NCAA tournament, but we're close, but not there yet when it comes to tennis. And certainly to be able to take on a team like Denver is going to be a tall order for, frankly, right now, anybody in the conference.
Yeah, we'll look forward to continuing to see them build. They have continued to put together a good program. They continue to try to find ways. And you know what they had this year that they don't get too often? They had home matches. How about that this year?
That's right. it's kind of nice to actually see them, here, right outside the dome, right outside the arena, to be able to play matches. More times than not, well, it's probably been, almost 4 years since we have been able to have a home match, primarily because of weather. And so when we do have home matches, we're up in Sioux Falls at the Huther Center because of two things, primarily wind and the temperature prevents us from being able to play outside. So we were fortunate this year to at least get some matches back here on campus.
Now hopefully it's a sign of things to come for tennis getting home matches. I guess we'll have to see how next spring is for that. Golf wrapped up their season. The men's golf team, they were in Newton, Kansas. It was a week following the women's championship. The men took on Sand Creek Station Golf Course down in Newton, Kansas. And I thought the golf team really got off to a pretty strong start, had a really good day number two. Tough day three, though, for the Coyotes down in Kansas.
It was, you know, and you know, we talked about it last week. What you're really looking for in a tournament like this is the consistency over the three rounds. And the first, I think everybody, you know, the scores were fairly high that first round. Second round, I think everybody shot really low. Third round, I think, was we were probably about 11 strokes worse on day three than we were day two, and that drops you a couple spots. So, you know, I looked at, you know, if you look at the scores, conceivably we very well could have placed third, but you end up in a tie for fifth. It's disappointing. I know it's disappointing for the team. If, you know, if you just have one or two players there that don't play their normal rounds, it has such an impact on the entire, you know, placement in the tournament itself. But, you know, it, you know, only getting in, I think we only played in five tournaments this year, which was the minimum. And it was certainly a shortened season with really no competition in the spring or in the fall. So disappointing, but yet we have some youth there on the team that going forward, you really, again, what you're really looking for is that consistency and getting that through a round. I think everybody that's played golf kind of can understand how easy it is to get inside your own head. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that certainly you've got to battle through those times to be able to come out and really put together three good rounds.
You know, one of the guys who struggled particularly on day three was Matt Toland, and I know that's going to be a tough way for him to wrap up his Coyote career. He's had such a great career at the University of South Dakota and has done so many different things. Tough way for him to finish off his senior season.
Well, without a doubt, and you just hope that you don't go back and look at this as I really hope that's not what he remembers about his career here is that one round on that last day, because that certainly does not doesn't paint the full picture of really how good of a golfer he's been for us, or really how good of a student and how good of a person he's been, or he is. So, you know, you know, it's one of those things where golfers have to have a short memory, and you and I can attest to that as we play golf. You know, we definitely got short memories because I don't realize how bad we were the last time we played golf. I just know that we get another round.
Forget each shot, shot by shot, because, yeah. There's a lot of bad ones, aren't there?
Well, there is. And, you know, golf is an interesting one because you really can't do a lot. You can't really do any coaching on the course during the round. And so it's different than, you know, a lot of sports where you can actually, you know, you can pull, you can, if it's football, you can pull someone out and talk to them. If it's basketball, you can pull somebody out. Volleyball, there's those rotations. Golf, hey, when you're having a good day, you get to stay in there. When you're having a bad day, you get to stay in there. And you just have to kind of work through it.
You know, one of the real positive things, though, out of that final round and really out of the weekend, junior Ben Hicks and a sophomore and Ian Johnston, I think they both turned in some of their better tournament scores for a three-round tournament, and that's a really positive thing as they build into the summer and to events that they may play in this summer.
Right. You know, I think Ian had two birdies that day, and Ben had one, and you know, Justin Kolb had three that day, but it's the youth is there. And again, you have such good role models that to look up to on this team with some of the senior leadership that you really look for those players to really kind of take over the team and take that leadership role in the team and really provide that mentoring for the youth coming up.
No doubt. Well, we'll continue to see some of that youth develop and should be. Coyote Golf is right now, I think, in good hands. They got a lot of young talent on that roster, so we'll look forward to seeing some of that. The NCAA last week, the COVID-19 Medical Advisory Committee, released some new recommendations when it comes to fully vaccinated student athletes and those in the tier one personnel. We've been hearing tier one personnel all year. But I thought when those recommendations came out last week, it was a really, really positive step for us as we wrap up this year.
You know, it was. And you know, we've been getting these updates from the NCAA about every 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And again, as things continue to progress, then you're getting some of these new guidance and some of the new protocols. And so right now, you know, fully vaccinated, both athletes and basically our tier one personnel, now can drop out of the testing protocols for the respective teams. Now, that said, track is the only one that we have left going right now. So that's primarily what that one is going to affect. But that certainly is big as you're coming into the Summit League Championships next weekend. So both you can drop out of the testing protocol. If you come in contact with through the contact tracing, if you're, you know, deemed a close contact, you don't have to quarantine. Really what we end up doing is you have to basically monitor symptoms for about 14 days. And that's really it. So, I mean, again, it's a huge step forward. And as you get, as the vaccinations have rolled out and you get more and more people vaccinated, that's why these protocols start to come in place, because now it's a factor as we're all dealing with COVID still.
You know, as those recommendations come out and we continue to get ready for the summer or little off season, if you will, and then to come back hopefully as strong as ever in the fall, is there a discussion right now with the student athletes, either from somebody like you in your position or head coaches, on encouraging them to get vaccinated? Or how do you approach that conversation? Or is it just kind of out there like everybody else? It's their option, and they have to make that decision for themselves.
We have done a couple things. One, it's certainly educating the student athletes, and we've been doing that in regards to COVID, and now educating them on the vaccines, and by getting vaccinated, what does that really mean? And we're putting it in the context of take whatever team it is. Let's just take volleyball, for instance. If we get the volleyball team vaccinated, the one thing that we can do then is really drop some of the other protocols that we have in place as it relates to travel, training, film sessions, things like that. And that said, that it's interesting, right, because that dovetails quite closely with what the Board of Regents just announced this week, as far as kind of lifting the mask mandate and then also kind of lifting the social distancing expectations as well. So, but things are opening up. I do think it's still going to be key that we encourage all of our athletes to get vaccinated. We also realize it's not a mandate, but the one way that we know that we can do all we can to try to protect each other, protect your teammates and your coaches and staff, is to be vaccinated. So, but at the end of the day, it's still really their choice to do it. So, I don't have the numbers as far as, you know, how many, what percentage of all of our athletes are vaccinated, coaches and staff, but those are things our training staff has to have. They have all of that documented, because it really comes into play when it comes to contact tracing, if we do have any positives. So something that we'll continue to push for, but really it's more of a health and safety, or health and wellness being of all of our athletes, that we're really cognizant of, and being if part of that is being vaccinated, that's why that's one of our big initiatives.
You mentioned the Board of Regents announcement this week. How excited are you to get back to seeing some of those smiles of your friendly staff that have been covered up for so long here?
Yeah, looking forward to it, and really looking forward to having some of our, you know, whether they be our head coaches meetings or staff meetings or all staff meetings, because right now those have all been via Zoom. And, you know, I think Zoom has been great for so many reasons, because it's helped us stay connected. It's helped us not lose contact with each other. It's helped us, you know, get things done. But at the same time, it's pretty easy to see when you're on a Zoom call who's paying attention and who's not paying attention. Because when you're on enough of these things, and if you've got one monitor, two monitors, or you're sitting there on your phone, it's really easy to get distracted. And then you kind of lose part of a conversation too. So it's been a good and a bad thing, these video conferencing and type calls, but I don't think there's any substitution for actually being able to get together. And that's, I think that's the big one that makes me really excited, is and not having to walk around the halls with a mask on is, I'm sure, going to be appreciated by all of our staff right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and it's obviously a positive sign as we move into the summer and prepare for next year as well. All right, let's get into Ask the AD. I've got a few questions here in regards to upgrades and things of that nature. Let's start with the dome. We haven't really discussed the dome in several weeks, and I know the last time that we talked about it, really as football got started, that kind of the 400 level, if you will, with the coaches' offices and things like that, that was still under construction. What's the status of that entire project right now?
Well, that level, the offices and all the meeting room spaces, those are all completed, and the staff moved in there last week. So they have kind of moved out of their the offices they had on the east side, moved over to the west side. We actually were able to use some of the meeting room spaces prior to the coaches moving over there. The plan was always to move them into those offices after the end of the season. And so they're there. That's a good thing. Now we've been in the process of, you know, all the offices that were vacated, you know, it came down to, what do we call it? Cleaning, patching, and painting those spaces. So we've been doing that. So now we've been reshuffling our own office or the rest of our staff into the offices that were vacated by football, and then moving people around from the offices that were vacated to move into the football offices that were vacated. So it's been a little bit of a shell game, but it's, you know, going back there, and as we were kind of going through that process, because we're still in that process right now, we should be completed with all of that by the end of May, that I think this is now my fourth reshuffle of office spaces over there. The first one was when the Wellness Center opened up, and some of that staff that was housed here in the dome went over to the Wellness Center. The second one, I think, was when Kinesiology and Sport Management that was housed in the dome moved over to Patterson Hall. And I think the third one was when the arena opened up and those offices moved over here. So this will be my fourth one to get to watch the shell game go on. I think over there too, I think I had 1, 2, 3, or maybe 4 offices I've had in the dome through all that reshuffling of spaces. So it's that part's been good. So at least they're over there. They're able to utilize the space, and they're living in the space now.
So are these offices being assigned at this point, or are we learning who's really, really good at rock, paper, scissors?
No, yeah, they've all been assigned. And it really wasn't a rock, paper, scissors. You know, one of the things I wanted to make sure of is all of our head coaches would have an office with walls and a door that they could close and not a cubicle. So that being the one, and just trying to look, what is the best utilization of some of that space and what makes the most sense? And we ended up having came down to a couple of different plans and spoke with a couple of our coaches to kind of get their input on space, you know, whether it be track or, you know, someone with a larger staff and, you know, which one makes the most sense. But no, it wasn't. There were certainly, Corey Jenkins got quite a few lists of needs and wants and desires as we were kind of going through the process, but I think we really did make a great utilization of the space.
Yeah, that would have been kind of a fun for calling Al Coyotes event to get the coaches up in front, and we would put the office space up on the video, and they would do rock paper scissors for who gets it. I think that could have been quite an event, but maybe next time, because when the next reshuffle happens. All right, let's talk about what's next. I know we discussed a little bit with the Wellness Center and a new pool for swimming. They've kind of had a challenging space, and I know it's been in the plans. Is there a time frame for that project, or what can you share on that?
We need to finish the fundraising for the pool right now, and that's kind of that's what's on our ticket list now. With us working with the foundation, trying to secure the final bits and pieces of the funding that we need to put to basically expand the Wellness Center to do the phase two of the Wellness Center. The Wellness Center was initially designed to be in three phases, and what we have right now is phase one. Phase two is the pool. Phase three would be additional court space, workout space, and some of those training rooms that they have in there. So I would like to think that we could break ground in a year. And then, you know, once we do that, and once that would be completed, then you're looking at that next phase for us is we've got a big hole that we got to figure out what we do with here in the dome and how we fill that in and how we utilize the space here on the east side.
Speaking of east side, any future plans for renovations there? Because, you know, the east siders who stayed, they're going to want some new shiny things like the west side now.
Yeah, it's always tough, especially if you're on the east side and you're looking over to that other side. And like I tell people, well, just go, you can sit on the west side too, you know, and that's okay. No, I think, you know, once we get to the point of having the wellness center expansion finalized, then we can really go back and really start brainstorming and planning on what we need to attack on the east side. And really it would be, you know, that, you know, between, from the concourse level on down, is what is it that we need to address? Because, you know, there's a ripple effect once we move the pool out of here on all the things that need to be, you know, addressed. And so time frame on that one, you know what, we need to finish what we started right now, and then we can attack that east side.
Any other thoughts about future upgrades, whether it's softball or anything else, or are we just focused on getting this project done right now?
Well, the one thing that we're working on right now is updating our athletic facilities master plan. So we really need to, because I think we have a lot of things that either need to be renovated, or what, if anything, do we need from a construction standpoint? And, you know, putting that wish list together as part of that facilities master plan, and then we work with the foundation on how do we fund it and fundraise for it. But until we can get that up, getting that updated helps us a great deal on not only how we move forward, but when we move forward.
Yeah, no doubt. All of it positive steps in the right direction. We'll keep looking forward to some of that. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all of your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com. Member FDIC. While the pandemic affected athletics, it also affected other events, including things like Calling All Coyotes and last year's summer golf events that were scheduled to be played at different places. So many things were obviously impacted by the pandemic. But you're moving on. You're ready to get back into the swing of things this summer. And with that said, we bring in Jeff Segrin. He's the assistant AD for development, and had the chance to catch up with him this week to talk about the upcoming Calling All Coyotes event, an August version of it, and also summer golf tours and so much more. Jeff, the pandemic over the last year has obviously forced a lot of adjusting for so many different people, and obviously you guys were no different with the events that you put on, Calling All Coyotes, the summer events, and all sorts of different things. We've talked to student-athletes all year long about how the pandemic has affected their teams or them individually. How has it really impacted the foundation and your group and just kind of the efforts that you guys are trying to put forth?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely see it with the games and the practices and the stuff that the athletes are doing. And for us, it's really very similar. I mean, we came off of the Summit League tournament in 2020, and we actually had just got a bigger space, and we had such a great crowd and fan base and following at that. And then everybody went to work from home. So we got really used to kind of undoing a bunch of the things that we had already planned. And it was very tough to see some things fall off the calendar, and try to reimagine a lot of those things and find ways to engage Coyote Nation virtually. We got used to doing the Zoom thing and being able to do some different stuff. And one of the big ones was we were planning right then for the Calling Out Coyotes for the auction, which was originally planned for April of last year. And seeing how that could still be a good event, but not having anybody in a room, which was very different for us.
When you talk about Calling All Coyotes, this is obviously something that people understand has really grown over the last few years and has continued to grow with its importance at USD and just with athletics and the money being raised and all of that stuff. So you start to think about, obviously, not being able to have an event last April, and you start to think of options. What goes into that conversation about how you still pull off an event at some point?
Yeah, I mean, it's that balance between wanting to do something and wanting to see those people and making sure that we're watching out for the staff, the coaches, the student athletes, and the community. And for us at that time, it was how can we still have a successful event and not put anybody in danger? And some of those things weren't easy. We ended up doing more of a Facebook Live and had some alumni come back and were able to pull off a pretty good event that was a little later in the summer last year. But this event, I have to give a shout out to the committees and the former staff that really made it what it is today or what it was in 2019 was probably the last year of it being regular. I think it started as kind of a potluck, and you've probably had some people wearing more of a polo style of event. And now it's a red tie event. It's big. It's sold out for the first 3 years that I was a part of it. And now going into the fourth year, we're excited to start planning something that can be a lot more in person.
And that in-person event is coming up in August is the plan, August 6th in Sioux Falls, landing on an August date, obviously something that in the past has been April once, athletics kind of calmed down a little bit. Now this is kind of going to kick off the athletic season.
Yeah, that's, with the uncertainty, we start the planning for this 5-6 months in advance. And right away we were concerned and thought that August date was a great way to kick off the season. And, our goal from today's date is to continue to progress towards an in-person event. But we also saw some advantage last year of that hybrid style virtual event. We connected with alumni all over the country. And so you'll see this event being planned as a much more in-person, but also we'll have alumni that could still be in their vacation homes, in Arizona and Florida and California, being able to tune in and feel like they're much more connected to, a couple of student athletes or some stories or the auction piece. And, whether they are able to make it in a following year, they will just be able to be a part of it wherever they're at.
So as you continue to plan for the 2021 Calling All Coyotes event on August 6th, is this something that tables are currently available? Are they sold out at this point? Are you searching for auction items? I'm sure that's an ongoing process.
Oh, yeah. This event, right now, tables are available. And, if you've attended in the past, we would encourage you to get that table reservation in. And then if you haven't, we actually have a bigger room this year. That was the plan going into last year was a little bit bigger space. So we had the ability to really open it up to some groups that haven't been able to attend before. So being a part of the event is certainly open right now. And if you aren't planning on attending, you said it very well. I mean, we're looking at auction items, and those can be anything from something that maybe it's a business that you're a part of and something you want to be able to get some coyotes into your business, or something cool that someone has made, or we have some popular vacation destinations that come up. And John, you've seen it where we have everything from your little trinkets that are on our silent auction all the way up to vacation homes in the Hamptons and everything kind of in between. So, everything is welcomed, and it makes it a terrific event.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it. Something for everyone. Things for the low budget person like myself or the high dollar person like yourself. Everybody in between has opportunities to purchase something. Most of it has something USD related, but at the end of the day, Jeff, it doesn't matter what you purchase at the event. It all goes to the same great cause.
Yeah, certainly there, John. The end of the day, this is supporting student athlete scholarships in the athletic department. So giving back to those scholarships for these athletes and knowing what they went through over the past year, makes it even more special than usual. But knowing that, you know, you can actually bid on some items or be a part of the piece where it's just a fun to yoke piece. If you didn't find something you liked and you wanted to be able to donate to those scholarships, there was just an opportunity for everybody to be a part of it.
Well, we look forward to the event coming up in August. Another series of events, I should say, that was kind of cut off last year due to the pandemic. One of my favorites, the Summer Golf Tour, golf events at some different places, and I know those are gearing up here really, really soon to get started for this upcoming summer.
Yeah, and talk about excitement. I mean, these things are starting to fill up. You know, we've got the Yankton Golf Outing May 21st over at Hillcrest, and then we do our Charlie Coyote Open here in Vermilion June 4th. We're planning on going a couple of different places here again this summer, and seeing that calendars are starting to fill up, I'm just excited to be able to get back out to places. And certainly with the golf outings, it's got some more freedom and some ability to really get outside and be able to support the Coyotes and golf. And, you know, I may hit a few everywhere, but I think that that's another one that's really open to any style of play. Somebody really good or somebody like myself.
Yeah, it's a good time, no doubt. A lot of people get out and enjoy those, so we'll look forward to those summer golf tours coming up here throughout the course of the summer. How are things with the Howling Pack? You know, they obviously, it was a tough year for a lot of people, but I know a lot of people still continue to support the Howling Pack, something that's grown the last several years.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the people that have continued to stay involved in these difficult times, and we're actually in our renewal period. So it's a membership drive right now, and we try to really gear that around, you know, football season tickets started up here about a month ago, and a lot of different benefits that you can receive as part of the Howling Pack go along with that school year. So 2021-22 is our renewal period, so we're already getting ready for the fall, and right now is a perfect time to be involved. And all those proceeds do go back to student athlete scholarships. So it's going well. It continues to pick up, and it'll be a fun summer there with the events and the membership drive.
Last thing for you, and I'll let you get going. I know another thing that people have enjoyed over the years, certainly, that obviously was affected with the pandemic as well, Lunch with the U. I'm sure you'll be excited to get Lunch with the U back.
Yeah, and something that not everybody might realize is the last Lunch with the U's we were doing, we were actually in a temporary location. So we will be able to return to the Pizza Ranch on 41st here in Sioux Falls. With the goal there being Thursdays, and we've got a couple of dates that are nearly public, just iron out a couple of those schedules that come out here this summer. But we plan to be Thursdays and kind of the back to normal there, especially. You're going to see, you know, head coaches and administrators, and I know we've had the president of the university as well as, you know, Tom Duple showed up. So it's been a good one, and I know I love the buffet. So it'll be nice to be back at Pizza Ranch, and that's one that we are nearing some dates, and yeah, it puts a big smile on my face.
No, we'll look forward to that. I know a lot of people enjoy getting together for that each month as well throughout the course of the year. Jeff, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Keep up all the great work with everything that you guys are doing, because it's a great impact for USD and certainly for athletics.
I appreciate it, John. Thank you.
He's Jeff Seeger, an assistant AD for development at the University of South Dakota, working with the foundation. All of that good stuff. Most people know who Jeff is, obviously staying close in contact with different things as far as your donations and your involvement with USD Athletics. He mentioned some Calling All Coyotes events. He mentioned the golf tournaments. And speaking of golf, by the way, the Bluffs Golf Course in Vermilion is featuring a half-price special for first-time adult or family memberships. Go to thebluffsgc.com or call 677-7058 for more information. A big thank you to the Bluffs Golf Course for their support of Coyote Athletics. That is going to just about wrap things up for me today here on the show for this episode of Yotecast. By the way, congratulations to the men's golf team on their weekend and wrapping up their season. I know they would have liked to do better, obviously. Many of us would like to do better in the things that we're doing, right? But they had a good weekend and really had one kind of tough day. But outside of that, really good weekend for them. Congratulations to women's tennis. They wrapped up their season this weekend. And so we'll continue to see teams wrap up their season here over the course of the next few weeks. Speaking of wrapping up their season, wrapping up the regular season this weekend is the Kiowa softball team. They are playing in Omaha, noon start time on Friday. It's a doubleheader with UNO. And then on Saturday at 11 a.m., first pitch of game one, game two will follow. Big games for the Kiowa softball team as they try to position themselves for the Summit League tournament, sitting right there on the edge. That losing games last weekend against Western Illinois certainly did not help anything at all. The track and field team hosting a tune-up. That is Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock is when that gets underway. So if you're out and about, check that out. And then if softball is able to advance to the Summit League tournament, by the way, that would get underway next Wednesday, the 12th. And we'll see how things go there for softball in the Summit League tournament. So that is what we have going on in Coyote Athletics. We've really shortened the list of events going on. But that happens this time of year in May as we wind things down and get ready for the summer. That's what's going on in Coyote Athletics, and that's going to do it for this episode. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for your time, as always, for taking a listen to this episode and all of our episodes throughout the course of the season. As always, if you have a topic, an idea, a thought, something you'd like to hear more about, you can always hit me up directly and submit that, or certainly send an email to yotecast@usd.edu. Have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great week next week. We'll look forward to it. We'll have another episode coming for you next week as well. Until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.